You're listening to a Year of Spiritual Formation podcast. Each episode will share a message covering an aspect of our eight doctrinal focuses for the year. In addition, each series will include a bonus episode of Ask a Theologian, where Pastor Dave will sit down with the theologian to have a conversation about the series topic. Listen in for the third message in our third series, Spirit Unleashed, where we learn about Holy Spirit as teacher.
Going to look at just one role, one aspect of the Holy Spirit, one role that he plays in our lives and in the lives of the church. So my title for the morning is, I know a guy. Thank you for laughing. I'm pretty funny. I know a guy. Does anyone have someone in their life who uses the phrase, I know a guy, more than anyone else by far? No, he's actually my example. He's my legit example coming up. No, but do you have a person who just has like a guy for everything? Like you're just like, oh, my faucet's leaky. And they're like, oh, I know a guy. You're like, hey, you know, my birthday's coming up. And they're like, oh, got a cupcake guy. Huh. Or say there's someone really annoying in your son's grade 4 class. I know a guy. That guy is Gloria. But anyways, But we have a barber, a longtime barber in our church, and I am telling you, it's him, it's the guy who looks like a barber. I'm telling you, there have been many times where I have been expressing a need. That's a nice way of me saying I was complaining about something. And he responds with, I know a guy. Is that how he does it? I know a guy, yeah. And I don't actually know how people acquire these like ethereal guys. But I do feel like it would be very convenient to always have someone that can help you out with whatever you need at the moment or teach you whatever you need to know in any given situation. Now, 2,000 years ago, there was a group of men. They are now famous disciples. They weren't famous then. But they knew a guy. And they brought him all their questions. They went to him for all kinds of direction. They chose him as their life teacher, if you will. And of course, this is Jesus. This is Jesus. For 3 years, the disciples and other followers viewed Jesus as their primary guy, their primary teacher, their rabbi. Out of the 90 times in the Gospels that Jesus is addressed by people, 60 out of those 90 times, people address Jesus as teacher. Teacher. And we know he was a good one. Right. In Mark 1:22, history records that people were astonished at his teaching. Astonished. Right. Jesus would teach anyone who would listen about what God the Father was like. Yeah. Right. He taught his disciples how to pray. He taught people how to love outcasts and love sinners while still living righteously. Yeah. He taught about self-denial. He taught about how to understand the Bible, the scriptures they had. Right, he taught them how to live out and live in the kingdom of God. So when the disciples, when they wanted to know what God's heart was in any given situation, if the disciples wanted to know what God wanted for them or what God wanted them to do, Jesus was their guy. Jesus was their guy. Now, when Jesus's time here on earth was completed, when his job was done, when he accomplished what he set out to do, and he died and he had risen again, he let his disciples know that he was actually going to be leaving to return to the Father pretty soon. And his disciples were understandably upset. They did not like the idea of Jesus not being with them any longer. And you can imagine this because they had already lost Jesus once, right? They had already gone through the incredible trauma of losing Jesus on the cross. They didn't know he was going to be risen from the grave. Wow. They didn't know he was coming back. They just thought he lost him. Yeah. And they did not want to go through that again. They didn't want to experience that incredible loneliness and confusion and despair they must have gone through after Jesus had died. Right? Why would they want to feel that again? And so if Jesus leaves them again, who is going to continue to teach them and guide them as how to move forward? Who's going to tell them what to do next? Who is going to make sure they were doing what God wants? Who is going to be their guy? So Jesus took some time to comfort them, and he explains to them why he had to go. And he says this in John 16:7. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And then John 14:26. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. And Jesus was like, I know I've been your guy for a long time now, but I also know a guy. I call him the advocate. I call him the advocate, and you're gonna love him. You're gonna love him. He'll teach on my behalf. He'll remind you about the things I've said. He'll be your go-to guy. Right? I can totally imagine Jesus being like, excited about this update. Like, he would have had anticipation on behalf of his disciples about how incredible the releasing of the Holy Spirit was going to be, about how much impact it was going to have. Right? Jesus, he would have been very aware of the ancient prophecies of the moment that was about to happen. Joel 2:28-29, this is our theme scripture for this series, actually. These are old prophecies far before Jesus' time, and it says this, and it shall come to pass that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. This is what we are singing for. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days, I will pour out my spirit. This is what Jesus had anticipation for his disciples. Jesus was convinced of this. But I can also imagine Jesus telling his disciples and them just sort of staring at him. This is what I would do anyways. I'd be like, sorry, you're leaving? Like, you're the Messiah. You've just proven yourself. You died and you've just risen again. We're legit convinced. We now know you are the Son of God. This has been confirmed. Like, we'll follow you. You're the guy. And now you're going to send someone else? Like, can't you just day? Can you imagine? But Jesus said, no, it's actually for your good that I'm going away. Yeah, unless I go, the advocate won't come to you. You'll notice Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the advocate in more than one verse. And you'll find that is a name used for the Holy Spirit in other parts of Scripture, advocate. And this is the one, like, intellectual part of the series today. So just engage in this, and then you can, no, don't tune out. I don't know what I'm saying here. Advocate. Advocate comes from the Greek word paraclete. Everyone say paraclete. Is this term still used in legal? It's a legal term. I wasn't sure. Okay, never mind. I'm looking at Tracy, and she's like, nope, don't look at me. So it's a legal term sometimes used still in courts in some places of the world. But the word paraclete means advocate, counselor, or helper. So it's an all-encompassing word. It means like all those things at the same time. Now, when translations into English came, when people are trying to figure out what word to use in English, you'll find some versions of the Bible actually use the word counselor instead. Like, if I will send the counselor to you, Jesus said, I will send the helper to you. But most versions stick with the word advocate. And my assumption is that a good advocate is also a good counselor and a helper. So I think advocate's one of those things that just summarizes it well. A good advocate should automatically be someone who helps you and someone who counsels you. Right? Maybe if you or I, if we're facing a legal issue, maybe child custody, maybe a car crash, maybe real estate, whatever it is, sometimes we need support and advice. Sometimes we need someone to stand up for us. Right. We need an advocate. Yeah. Right? Sometimes we just need to not be alone in a circumstance. Right? We need an advocate. Sometimes we need someone to tell us what to do next. We need someone to reveal truth about the situation. Yeah. Truth to be explained. We need an advocate. And when Jesus was on earth and Jesus walked on earth, they knew him very much as their advocate, as their counselor, as their teacher. For them, the best person to get answers about who God was, What he liked, what he wanted, what they should do was Jesus. And just like maybe you or I might practically need a lawyer sometimes to help us understand, like, what does this law mean? Like, how does this apply? Like, how do I sort through all the jargon? Like, can you help me out here? In so many ways, Jesus did that for his disciples. He sorted through scripture and he brought understanding about the kingdom of God, of God's heart. He gave them guidance and teaching how to properly live and move forward in the kingdom of God. But here's the thing. Jesus was God, but we also know he was fully human. And because he was fully human, he could only be an advocate for so many people. Jesus still had 24 hours in a day. Jesus still ran out of energy, right? Jesus was not omnipresent. Jesus could only be in one place at what time. And as a human, Jesus was only ever going to be able to disciple so many people, especially in that close, intimate way that those relationships that he had with his disciples. Man, those disciples, they had it so good, right? Man, they were like apprentices of God. They got to be taught about God by God. They had it so good. But only so many people could get that opportunity. Right? When Jesus was on earth, he could only disciple so many people. So if God wanted to reach all people, though, which we know he does, throughout all ages, in different places, in different times, all over the world, if God wanted to restore that relationship with each and every person, every son or daughter who wanted to return to him, he couldn't forever be restrained to just one human being. And the sending of the Holy Spirit was the answer. Right? Once Jesus had freed humankind from the power of sin, once Jesus had started the process of new creation, Holy Spirit, the sending of the Holy Spirit, it was like it was the next phase in the plan of God's restoration with mankind. So although the disciples, although they were grieved at the idea of Jesus leaving them, he said, it's not a bad thing that I'm going, because once I do, the Holy Spirit will take my place as your advocate. And not just you. And not just you, but so many others. And I will be with you at all times. The advocate will be accessible and available to you more than any human being ever could be. Right? For 3 years, Jesus taught his disciples around dinner tables or dinner, yeah, whatever they are, around dinner. He taught around food, lots of food in the Bible. He taught on walks. He taught while working. He taught in church. But now God was going to shift, and he was going to start teaching people from within them. Right? God was going to make a way for us to be taught by God from inside of us. Right? And this whole crazy concept, it started on the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost. Anyone heard of Pentecost before? It happened recently, comes after Easter. But we're going to turn to some scripture when the day of Pentecost happens. Acts 2. So Jesus has left earth. Jesus has returned to Father God. And the disciples were there, just sort of like, okay, now what? And they waited. And they waited for quite a while. But then finally the day of Pentecost came. Acts 2, 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound, like the blowing of a violent wind, came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. What a crazy moment. I would love to see what this looked like. So after this moment, nothing was the same. Nothing was the same. In fact, we would say that this is when the church actually began. Right? God's Holy Spirit burst onto the scene in a whole new way, empowering followers of Jesus, and now humankind's ability to relate to God forever changed. Forever. Pastor Dave, he's actually going to be preaching on the Pentecost later this month, so I won't, you know, spend more time on this historical moment. But for today, the lesson, the implication is that while 2,000 years ago, people got to receive the most incredible revolutionary teachings from Jesus, we now have the ability to be taught by God as well. We have the ability to be counseled by God through the person of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And he loves to teach. Yeah. The Holy Spirit loves to teach, particularly on his favorite subject, which turns out is Jesus. I think it's safe to say that most of us have had experiences with good and bad teachers, right? Good and bad teachers. When I think about bad teachers, I think about the words like uninspiring. Like I had more than one professor that I'd go to the lectures and they literally just read the textbook. And I'm like, could you read it in Australian accent or something? Like, could you just do anything to mix it up? Right? I've had teachers where I swear someone must have like forced them at gunpoint to teach. You're like, you're miserable. I don't even know, like, you don't even like doing what you're doing. What you're saying doesn't make sense. I'm not even sure what you're saying is true. Right? A bad teacher is someone who's detached from their students, don't even realize it. But a good teacher is inspiring, right? Yeah, Ellie's like, oh yeah, they are. A good teacher will make you interested in a subject you previously had no interest in. Right? I had 0% interest in the subject of history until grade 12. And then I had a history teacher in grade 12 who was so passionate about history that his passion was contagious and every student was like, yeah, I think we love this too. Like it was like his love for the subject transferred over to his students. Has anyone ever had a teacher like that? Who is it? Say their name out loud. Who is your good teacher that you had? Mr. Harris. Who else? Mr. Schultz. I'm afraid to say that name. Cooksley? Okay, thank you, Mr. Cooksley. I had a few good teachers. I'm very grateful for them. I can be influenced by a good teacher. There's been a few moments, like after I go to a conference, and if there's a really good speaker, I'm like, oh, and then I go and like buy all their books afterwards. And then 3 weeks later, I'm like, I don't even care about the subject. Why do I have these books? But good teachers just really like make something come alive in you. Good teachers love to teach and they love what they teach. And they want you to be excited and as interested in as learning as you are. And that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not uninspired. He's not bored of teaching. He's actually passionate and he's actually eager to teach and he cares about each of his students and he cares about his teaching and his drop-in hours aren't limited to like Tuesday between 12:30 and 1, like every professor I had. One of the functions of the Holy Spirit is to teach us how to understand and live out the teachings of Jesus. The Holy Spirit's role is to teach us how to understand and live out the teachings of Jesus. Again, the Holy Spirit is a big fan of Jesus. And so it's his desire to continue teaching all that Jesus taught to all of us. Right? The verse that I read, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, who the Father sent in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Guys, we are invited to be apprentices of God. Like, no matter how unspiritual or how unqualified we might feel sometimes, we have the privilege of being taught by God. Like, and in so many different ways. Right, when Jesus, oh, he was so cool, Jesus. Jesus, when he was on earth, he taught by using natural things, nature all the time, birds and trees. Fig trees didn't always work out for the fig trees, but he talked about mountains. He talked about all kinds of things to teach people. He used political examples. He used economic examples. He used social examples. He used whatever was relevant, whatever was going on in people's worlds. He used those things to teach about God and teach about principles of God. And the Holy Spirit can do that too. And he will do that too. And I think it's super important, and I am so guilty of this, but it's important that we don't accidentally limit the Holy Spirit or box in our understanding of how he can teach us.
Right?
Like so many times I think it's like, okay, I will, after my worship session and I've got my journal and I'll be sitting in the bedroom and somehow all three of my kids are quiet somewhere, then the Holy Spirit will like download words. It's like, No, like, you should do that. But he could also teach you on the drive to work. He can teach you from the back of a cereal box, right? He can teach you when you're hiding in the bathroom from your children. Like, it's, you never know who or what God can and wants to do, what situation he could use to actually teach you something. He is a creative teacher. And perhaps one of the most important things the Holy Spirit does as our teacher is make the words of the Bible come alive. My Bible went missing this morning. I'm gonna, okay, yes. This is a Bible, everyone. We like this book. How many people find this book hard to read and confusing sometimes? Still struggle many times. Did you know, though, that the Holy Spirit can actually make these words come alive? This really is words, this really is just on its own. It's words on a book. Like, if I hold this to my body, I'm not just automatically going to get healed or whatever. And did you know that people could actually read this whole Bible? They could memorize it and still not know God. You can know all the words in here and still miss God's heart and never apply it as God intended. Sometimes now I think we like to use the excuse that, like, well, it's been translated a gazillion times. We don't know what it meant in original Hebrew and in Greek, and maybe we're misapplying. Like, sometimes I feel like there's this feeling like it's impossible to know God's heart. But did you know? I know I've said that a lot. Let's not use that phrase. 2,000 years ago, when all there was the Old Testament, these are still ancient scriptures, when they were in their original language, when they were untainted, people were still misinterpreting and misapplying the words. In fact, that is one of the things Jesus came to do, is bring clarity to where, like, things had really gone off. Right? So it's not a matter of, like, did that one translator translate the word wrong? Not saying that that isn't really valuable to look into. But what I am implying is that on our own, we're going to mix this up. On our own, this can be very dry and boring. On our own, this might even seem horrible in some points. But the Holy Spirit, the creative, the inspired teacher, the passionate teacher, he will be the life in these words. And he can teach you God's heart in these words. He can bring clarity to these ancient words. In Luke 25, there's a story. Oh, I love this story. It's called The Road to Emmaus. And it takes place after Jesus has risen from the dead. And two of his followers are walking down a road, and Jesus joins them. But these followers, I don't know, they were so just taken by grief and confusion that they didn't recognize Jesus was with them. But either way, it's these two followers and Jesus, and they're walking on this road, and Jesus starts teaching them about the scriptures. In verse 27, he says, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." Right, Jesus was explaining to them what the scriptures meant. And then later, after they had a meal together, in verse 31, it says, "Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight." And then they asked each other, this is it, "Were our hearts not burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Oh, this book, it has the power to reveal God. It has the power to change your life. It has the power to come alive in your world. But it can also just easily remain words on a page that we read, maybe partially absorb and move on. What we need is for our minds to be opened, to understand and interpret. And just like Jesus did for those two men on the road to Emmaus, the Holy Spirit can now do for us. I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but there's been parts where, like, I'm reading the Bible and then a line will jump out for the first time ever. It's like, I've never seen this verse before. And it's like something inside me comes alive. Were our hearts not burning within us when he talked to us, when he opened the scriptures to us? Church, I implore you, every time you go to read the Bible, take a moment to invite Holy Spirit to open up the scriptures to you, to explain to you, to highlight to you what they mean. It doesn't have to be this big, long, fancy thing. Literally this morning, Holy Spirit, would you just be with me while I read this Bible? Holy Spirit, would you just teach me what you want to teach me through these words this morning? Just a sentence. Just a heart position. Right? When it comes to needing help for these words to become more than just words, we know a guy. We know a guy. Holy Spirit will be life in the words. You know, we believe it was the Holy Spirit who inspired the authors to write this book in the first place. So who better to interpret this book written by God than God himself in many ways? There's a scripture, let's see here. 1 Corinthians 2, 1. That might not be it, but Sean has the right version. Thank you. For who knows a person's thought except the spirit of that person? Yeah, I don't know Taylor's thoughts, only she knows her thoughts. Who knows a person's thought except the spirit of that person, which is him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the spirit of God. Right? If God wrote this book, God's the best person to help us understand it. And the Holy Spirit will be our tutor on these matters at any point. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to teach us the word of God. There's a quote I read this week in my studies, and I thought I would share it with you because it's beautifully written. It goes like this. The difference between those who truly understand the Bible's teaching and those who do not isn't based on education, skill set, or intelligence. It's a spiritual matter. The Spirit reveals, instructs, and enables us to apply the beautiful and mysterious teachings of Scripture to our own lives. How cool is that? Now, here's the thing. The best teachers out there will only benefit as much as we willingly place ourselves in the position of a student. One of my favorite teachers, he was Dr. Schneider, a sociologist. He changed the way that I thought about the world in so many ways. But if I didn't give his lessons weight or allow myself to be challenged, I would have learned very little. If I didn't do the readings, how much I absorbed and grew from his teachings would have remained minimal. Right? The best teacher in the world is no good to you if you don't let them be a teacher. If you don't give them the position of teacher in your life. And this applies from driving lessons to being taught in church to watching a cooking show on a YouTube channel. Right? There comes a point where we make a decision that we're going to let a teacher teach us. Right? And our relationship with Holy Spirit, it's no different. Yeah. It's no different. Good. He's got a lot to teach. He wants to teach. That teacher's going to teach. He's interested in you. He cares about you. But if we don't give him space and time and attention, if we don't listen, if we don't do the readings, if we don't actually put ourselves in a position to receive what he is offering, if we don't prioritize asking and listening, then I'm telling you, we are letting one of the greatest opportunities we have in our lifetime go to waste. Has anyone heard of Brittany, you're going to have to help me. Gabor Mate? I don't know how to say his name. Gabor Mate? Gabor Mate. Gabor Mate. Has anyone heard of Gabor Mate? The reason I'm saying this is because I know at least six of you have, so it's fine. Gabor Mate. He is a retired, I think he's 80, psychologist, all the things. And I am reading one of his books for the first time. And I am loving it. It's a very good book. I'm very interested in it. Now, Gabor Mate was in Kelowna a few months ago. Did anyone go to that? Yep, okay, cool. So I now confess, now that I realize how awesome he is, sort of wish I had been there. It was only a few months ago. I would have loved the opportunity to learn from him. And I know I'm not alone. I've heard other people say this. And I sort of feel like, oh, I can't believe he was in Kelowna and I didn't go. You know, at one point I would have been sad to miss like a Backstreet Boys concert, but now I'm like, oh, the 80-year-old psychologist was there and I missed it. Aging's fun. Aging is fun. Anyways, focus, Kimberly. At one point, yes. If we can experience legitimate frustration or disappointment about missing an opportunity to learn from a respected teacher, like Gabor Mate, if you will, how much more should we be concerned about missing out on the opportunity to be receiving teachings from the Spirit of God himself, from the Holy Spirit? And the thing is, his teachings, they will relate directly to your life and directly to your circumstances. Right? They will relate directly to your children and to your marriage and to the people in your neighborhood and your workplace and your schools. Right? There is so much more divine guidance available to us than we could comprehend. And I'm convinced that we're not taking advantage of it. And I'm telling you, I'm raising my hand as number one. I am convinced I am not taking advantage of this gift that God has given us. The week before last, I had a really hard week, mostly in my head, emotionally and mentally. I was feeling really, really overwhelmed. You can come up, Alex. My to-do list got way too long. Things were not well-balanced. Zero balance, zero things, zero self-care. I didn't know how to navigate things in my life. I didn't know how to fix the messes I got myself into. And the anxiety started wreaking havoc on me. Like, it really did. Like, to the point where I was paralyzed a few times. I was just, do you ever feel like there's so much to do that you just can't do anything? You're just like, like, that's where I was. And Josiah was trying so hard to support me, guys. He was being so good. I was not making it easy on him. But at one point, he was like, babe, have you prayed about this? Who loves hearing that from their spouse? No. I was like, it's like, I'm going to remove your head. But the answer was no. The answer was no. I had not prayed about it. Not really. I'd prayed a few prayers that were like, God, help me. Or like, God, I'm stressed. God, I'm still stressed. God, I'm still stressed. Like, that was mostly the prayers I was praying. But had I stopped and just like sat down, maybe opened my Bible and said, Holy Spirit, I need you. I need some advice. I need some counsel. I need to know what to do or how to do it. Like, is there anything you have to say to me? Is there anything? And I did do this, and it's interesting, because the first thing that happened to me was not like a 5-point plan. But the first thing that happened was just an incredible feeling of peace, which was the opposite of every emotion I had been experiencing up to that moment. It was just peace. And then he reminded me that I wasn't alone. He reminded me of what actually mattered. And soon, clarity began coming to my mind, and I started seeing things differently, thinking more clearly. And he brought a verse to mind that I started repeating throughout the day, and I moved forward. He did that for me. I didn't deserve it. I wasn't turning to him. I was caught up in my own stuff, but he was there. And he is always available for us. He is always available, but we have got to invite him in. We've got to call upon him for input and insight. One of the most famous Bible characters, King David, famous king and warrior, he was always crying out to God to be taught by him. And not on small matters either. He was asking for advice on some very big issues, how to lead people, conquer enemies, navigate relationships. And one verse that he prayed in Psalm 25:5, I love this verse. It's, guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are my God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. I like to have this verse available when sometimes it's hard for me to find words to pray. Sometimes I could cry this prayer. Sometimes I might yell this prayer. Sometimes I might sing and laugh this prayer. But these are words that people, Christians, for thousands of years now, have been praying to reach out to our God, to Holy Spirit. Different languages, different situations, different places, different eras. Guide me in your truth. Teach me. You are my God and my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. And because of the Holy Spirit, We don't have to look out there or strive after God or convince him to come to us, to give us advice, because he's right here. He's available. He is within us. He's within us right now. The verse we keep saying, when Jesus said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper. He will give you an advocate. He will give you a counselor to be with you forever. Right? The Holy Spirit, he's our guy. We know a guy. You know a guy.
Spiritual Formation Podcast. To learn more about C3 Church in Central BC or for additional resources, head to c3church.ca.